Please be seated. Every year, Chaplain Molstad asked me to do a little presentation on the altarpiece, and he hadn't said anything this year. And so I thought, maybe I'm off the hook. And I got an email on Friday saying, remember you're on Wednesday. And I thought, it's kind of like a celestial email, you know, you just, okay, that's right. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I couldn't escape. I know what I have to do. Anyway, I'm Bill Bukowski. I teach art here, and I did the painting of the altarpiece. It was commissioned in 1994, painted in 1995, and installed and dedicated in 1996. It's painted on Belgian linen with a rabbit skin glue and oil primed white, and then it's done in oil. Since I work in from life, all the figures were models, were either students or relatives or friends, except Christ, of course. And probably the best trivia about the altarpiece that many of you have heard, but I still have to say it. Because I like to work from life, I needed to find a model for Christ, and we had an art show at Bethany, and a man walked in, and he looked like Jesus. Jesus came to the art show. He had that, and then I talked to him, and it turned out he was a 33-year-old carpenter. That's when you get a little nervous. You get nervous, and you say, how would you like the model for a crucifixion? He said, okay, and I actually tied him to a cross in the drawing room. The maintenance, the housekeeping built the cross. Esther Merseth and the MSU costume department got me the costumes. And so what this is a 15th century high-def Blu-ray work of media that was vividly marking your mind in a way, bringing you all together in a worship space. It doesn't need batteries. It could use a little bit of light, but even that isn't necessary. Oil should last about 500 years, and then you restore it so it looks like new. So it should last for a while. But it really is part of that tradition of the community coming together to commission a work that was valuable to them. It's interesting to note that altarpieces went out of style in what historians call the Age of Reason. They didn't care anymore about altarpieces. This one, though, starts with the Bethany theme, the one thing needful. And as we all know, as we look at this, it's in the house of Mary and Martha, and Jesus is preaching. You have a house guest. It's Jesus Christ, and he's preaching. And Mary is going to listen no matter what. And Martha is going to say, our guest needs something to eat. We have to deal with life. And we all want to be Mary. But the trouble is, if we were Mary, what we're probably doing is we're texting Martha. We're saying, I'm good, you're bad. And you're laughing. As soon as Jesus turns his back, you're laughing at Martha, saying, you got stuck with all the dishes. You got stuck with the work. I am going to listen to Jesus. And so it does invite you. It's actually in a Baroque style. In the Baroque period, they invited the viewer to experience it as if they were there. So the idea is that you're sitting on the mat. It's a low angle on the perspective. So you're sitting at Jesus' feet. You're witnessing Mary and Martha, and you want to be Mary, but you know who you are. And I try to connect them with psychic lines. They stare at each other. They look. He gestures. The natural light comes in, so it's a combination of natural light to make the point of Christ's light in these women's lives. When I did the painting, I consulted with Mark and A.D. Harstad because both had been to the Holy Land, and I'd gotten a pile of books, and I talked to Professor Kessel also on aspects of what this should be like. I hadn't yet been to the Holy Land, so I wasn't quite sure. Normally I have an assistant that opens it right now, but I don't see anyone, so
opening the altarpiece during a service
was a way of marking an important spot in that service. If you've been to the choir concerts, Dennis Marzoff has continued that tradition. And so opening it up, what we have is we're showing Christ's birth, but we're also documenting his persecution because it's really the flight into Egypt. So we have Mary and Joseph, and they're hurriedly traveling. And what they spill out are symbols of their traditional symbols from Christ. The bread of life, the light of the world, living water. It shows the crucifixion through the hammer and nails. And so the objects were symbolic. The background landscape is supposed to be Nazareth, and it was based on pictures. And then the central crucifixion, artistically one of the most exciting commissions you can get, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime. And if you actually want to see me in 1995 working on it, check out YouTube. Bethany Altarpiece, I'm there. KEYCTV News Flash. It's very cool. But historically, anyway. So you can't really show a crucifixion. And I was informed by the administration that we can't be too bloody because we can't take it every day. And I know a lot of you might say, oh, we can take it. But I say, watch Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. You can almost not watch it. It's so bloody and so violent. And so what I'm presenting is more like a symbol of the crucifixion. You know what it is, but it isn't quite as vivid or quite as real or quite as horrible as it was. And there's it's a fictional space. The black background is part of a Spanish Baroque tradition. Artists like Diego Velázquez, they used the black, and it was based on Caravaggio's darkness from the Italian Baroque. And I wanted to show different levels of agony as they're standing at the cross. And I wanted to show John as more of a college-age student so that you could, if you look at an old guy with a beard, he's as outdated as your professors. Just kidding. So it's a college-age attendant at the death of Christ, as we should be attendant also. And the last panel is the resurrection, and I've used symbols from Byzantine and medieval gestures. The skull showed up about the year 1000 in Byzantine mosaics relating to Christ's victory over death. The blood often spills onto the skull. And so these symbols satisfy probably more or less me as an artist, and then hopefully as you look at it, it becomes more interesting to you as part of that venerated tradition of Christian art. Just like in our hymns, which are part of the past, the focus at that time was so strong in terms of theology and what they were expressing that we still feel that it's a valid form of expression. And the great thing as we look at it is that because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, we are off the hook for our sins and our imperfections. But we're not off the hook in terms of how we live and how we express and how we should spread this message. Now, most of you probably aren't painters because I haven't seen you in my class, but you're all visual people. Because I'm guessing about 98% of you have Facebook accounts. And does the Facebook account register with you as a Christian? Does your Twitter account? Does your YouTube channel? I mean, there are ways as a Christian that we should be communicating this message. It might not be in paint. It might not be in a chapel. But we all know there's other sources. And so we want to become sensitive to the Christian message and the Christian imagery, maybe starting here in the chapel, but going off and beyond into your own lives. There are places in the world today that would not allow this painting to exist. And I think that's one of the things you have to remember. We're at Bethany here. We're kind of safe. You know, we're safe. But it's not an excuse. You're not off the hook because you're at Bethany, or because you teach at Bethany, or because you work at Bethany. You're not off the hook to hide your Christianity. And the world needs you as you step off the campus. The world needs you. And so take that charge. We're off the hook for our salvation, but we're not off the hook to spread the word.